Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in Morris Huddle with me, Bram, no Marcus or Maxime today, but I'm fired up to announce that rejoining me after way too long, the sports director for Cron 4, a host on 95.7 The Game's airwaves, the sideline reporter for your Santa Cruz Warriors, a sports anchor with experience in North Dakota, Louisiana, and Maryland, and a guy who was impressed with Marcus Morris last night, Mr. Jason Dumas. What's going on, Jay?
Not much, man. Thanks for having me on again.
All right, come on, man. You know the pleasure is ours. And I got a bunch of Warrior stuff for you. I got Valkyrie stuff for us. We got all types of shit. But I'm going to start kind of personal. And I'll begin it with an admission, man. So I'm not going to tell you how old I am, Jay, but aging, you know, older than I want to be. And it pops up in weird ways. And it's popping up recently with my playoff watching experience. So I don't have the Warriors this year, and I'm just kind of, you know, watching each game and enjoying it. And I found myself rooting for the older teams for the first time in my life. You know, like this whole thing has been this off season has been this passing of the baton, you know, and we're watching like the OKCs and the Minnesotas, but we also have like Dallas and Denver and kind of the old heads. And Jay, I've hated Kyrie Irving as a player my entire life. I'm rooting for him now just because he's older. Like that's where I'm at, which leads to for you. I'm older than you, but you know, you're not early 20s. Do you have any allegiance that way? Like when you're watching this, which way are you leaning?
No, I mean, I don't really have a rooting interest in anybody at this point. I found myself rooting for Anthony Edwards. So I was kind of rooting for the Timberwolves just because I was rooting for Ant. It looks like they're going to lose that series. They're probably going to get closed out in six. So, yeah, I was Timberwolves. If the Timberwolves bow out, I don't really know. I just hope for good games, honestly. I really don't have anybody who I've latched onto in this group that is still playing.
Are you a 76ers guy? I mean, I know you got Philly ties. I mean, when they were still playing, are you like a full-blown 76ers fan?
Yeah, I grew up rooting for all four Philly teams.
So does your again, I'll keep it personal. So, I mean, I'm a psychopath, man. If I'm a 76ers fan and they lose to the Knicks, my next stop is, well, fuck the Knicks. But more than anything, I just want them to lose. And do you have like that kind of resentment or no, you just move on?
That's a great question. In most cases, yes. This case, I don't really care about them that much. It's like we lost a hard-fought series. It was kind of hard to hate on them for the way they beat us. It was just tough-minded basketball, and they out-toughed the Sixers most of that series. Sixers were more talented. You know, I like Jalen Brunson. He's given me his time in interviews and whatnot. Dante has been pretty good to me with access when he was here in San Francisco. So there's no one. Josh Hart is cool. So, you know, I don't hate the team at all. Obviously, from a fan point of view, I'm not rooting for them either. It's just it is what it is. I think whether it's them or the Pacers, either team is going to lose to Boston.
I'm only going to admit this to you. If a Knick fan hears it, I'm going to immediately deny it. I like having Madison Square Garden during the playoffs back in my life. I just like the idea of it, you know? And like,
I agree.
Even just like their straightforward aggression, I'd say once every two or three games, we get a fuck you chant. I mean, literally a fuck you chant. You know, like we've gotten some fuck you Trae Young. We got a fuck you Reggie Miller. And I'm just
from Philadelphia. So New Yorkers are like our cousins.
Yeah.
You know, and we're kind of cut from the same cloth, same characteristics, same type of, you know, once you get past like the glam of New York City, like the actual common folks in New York City. They're kind of built from the same fabric as the common folks in Philly. So I can relate to New York fans, and I'm with you. I like when the Knicks are relevant and they have a great home court advantage at the Garden. I used to go to the Garden all the time for the Big East tournament growing up, and because I was a Syracuse guy, and we used to pack the Garden for the Big East tournament every year. And then been to countless Sixers Knicks games growing up. I mean, it's a 90-minute train ride. It's literally like going from San Francisco to San Jose, pretty much.
Born and raised in Oakland, so blue collar, you know, attitude. Yeah. I've always liked blue collar fans. This will be my last East Coast take here, but I was watching a clip. This is when the 76ers were still playing the Knicks, and it was a big thing, right? Because New York was traveling down to the 76ers, and so there was Knicks fans there, and there was a clip of it was upstairs in the 76ers building. Two sets of fans are fighting, or the first they're talking shit, then punches get thrown. After the punches got thrown, that's when they started respecting each other. Like after the fight kind of like broke up and they both looked at each other like, yeah, like, all right, you're a real fan. And it was the most like East Coast weird way to find respect that I'd seen for a while. All right, Jay, let's.
Sometimes you got to fight it out.
Yeah, it is what it is. And that's exact. The look that they exchanged afterwards, the respect they had afterwards was like, yeah, we fought, but it's okay.
What's understood doesn't need to be said.
That's exactly right. That's 100% right. Okay. Golden State stuff. And let's start with the Valkyries. Yeah. So this week we knew the WNBA was on its way to the Bay. It's here. And they finally announced the name and the color scheme. We even got kind of the logo that got thrown up there. So Valkyries, what do you think, man? Thumbs up. And what were your initial impressions on the name?
Man, this is a good question. So during this whole rollout, you know, the campaign, ever since they announced the team was coming and they're starting their branding, their search, you know, I'm a journalist, I'm not PR, but this is one of those situations where you also want to prop up a new organization, building a new fan base, looking to get established in the area.
Sure.
So that's kind of one of those things where, no, I don't work PR for the Vols and the Golden State Warriors. But, you know, as a part of this community, as a broadcaster in this community, we'll prop them up as they get started. So you're not going to find me very critical of this organization at this juncture, especially publicly. But if you're going to ask me just straight up, do I like the name? No, I do not. Personally, I don't. I see the reasoning behind it. I read all the PR releases. They come right to my email. I like the design and the Golden Gate or the Bay Bridges, and I get all that. But just from a simplistic point of view, I would guess over 50% of the fans and people out there, the consumer, had to Google what the hell a Valkyrie was when they heard. I was one of them. Now, whether that makes me dumb or not is just the reality. I'm on TV and we're taught, hey, you got to dumb down some of your scripts. Like, not like, don't talk advanced stats when you're reading a highlight, because it's someone's mom is making dinner while she's watching the news. Sure. She's not going to know what the hell you're talking about. And why would you be on TV and you're like losing all these people because you're doing like this deep dive in this Warriors highlight talking about like Andrew Wiggins advanced metrics. Just he missed the shot. So like they tell us to dumb down our scripts and it makes sense. So I think the same thing should be had for some of these names. No normal person doesn't know what a Valkyrie is. I didn't.
I Googled it and
everyone had to Google it.
Yeah,
and when you have to Google something just to understand it, like is it like that's like if you told a joke, Bram, and I had to like go Google it to like get your joke.
Yeah, you mean like every time I've told you a joke? Yeah, I'll take that. The other thing that hit me when I Googled it is I have no idea how to spell it. None. You know, it took me like 15 attempts to get it. And when Google taught me that it's women warriors of North mythology, I thought it was a little on the nose, you know, that like they picked women warriors as the title. It seemed a little specific, but I'll be more transparent with you way back when CJ Holmes was still here as the beat writer. Yep. He took to Twitter and suggested Valkyries. That was just, I mean, he might have even been stealing it from somebody else.
Apparently everybody on Reddit, I'm not a huge Reddit person. I don't go on much Reddit, but apparently everybody on Reddit was clamoring for that name too, for like past like 6 months.
Well, since CJ did that, anyone in my life who asked me about the WNBA team, I pretended, Jay, like I had inside knowledge. Literally, I was like, are you sure it's about to be the Valkyrie? And so when they announced it, it made me seem like I knew what the hell I was talking about. So I don't really like the name, but the idea that it somehow made me feel like I had inside information, I will take for sure. Here's the other thing. This
one of my colleagues, she told me she knew what it was, but she also said she's into comic books and like mythology. So that's why she was like, I don't expect like a lot of people to have known what that means. So I just don't love the fact that she had to Google it to understand it. I don't like the fact that it doesn't roll off your name, your tongue, especially as a broadcaster who's going to have to say it all the time. Like Valkyrie is not just like, it's a kind of an awkward word to say.
You casually already came up with the nicknames. One of the things I had on here is, what are we going to call them? You said Vals 5 seconds into your answer here. So you've already.
Yeah, I'm a TV person. I'm not saying Valkyrie every other word. I'm going to call them the Vals. That's what I'm going to
spell. I can definitely spell Vals. So that helps me. How about color, man? I got more than one text from Warriors fans pissy that it was purple. You know, then and they told me to. Yeah, so what do you think?
That's another one I didn't enjoy. Like, I didn't love the color. I actually love the color purple. I think it's a like just standalone. I love the color purple. I have a couple pair of purple sneakers. I have a nice Val color dress shirt. Purple tie looks pops on TV, but in context, knowing the team, you know, about 90 minutes, what east is that? Sacramento.
Yeah.
They're the same color scheme, but you know, I did some asking. I was told that they want Sacramento fans to cheer for this team.
Oh, now, so it's on purpose?
Is that the only reason? No, but you know, Sacramento used to have a team. They lost it. Teacher Panichero played for it. What was the name of that team again?
I was really hoping you were not going to ask me that.
No, not the Mystic. I can't remember. But they were like the same color.
Monarchs, maybe? And
Monarchs, that's what it is. So they had a team, they lost it. And remember, this is the Golden State Valkyries. So, and obviously at the end of the day, they're like this team, they want to make money. Of course, he wants to win championships and everybody, but he's also a business. If you're in the business of making money, you don't turn away fans. It don't matter if they live in Sacramento, Los Angeles. If someone wants to cheer for your team and put money into the product, you're going to welcome them. So I think while everyone else is like, why would you have purple and black and silver, which matches the Kings? They're like, hey, we're not worried about offending those people in Sacramento. Like, if they want to cheer for us, good for us. So I don't love it personally. And I just, you know, I am more of a fan of just synergy between an NBA and a WNBA franchise. And, you know, that would mean you got the name synergy, I guess, exactly. Warriors, Valkyries. But I would like the same color coordination, too, because, you know, now people got to go buy out whole sets of other. Yeah. But like I said, it's a business too. It makes sense from a business.
You explained it to me. I had not. So I forgot that Sacramento had a team in the past, you know, and it makes perfect sense. Why the hell wouldn't you want to expand your geographic boundaries? And what a perfect way to do it. Make the name synergy with the team you're based on. You know, it's the Women Warriors, but they're calling them the Valkyrie. And then making the color scheme speak to, you know, the people.
The team that left. And yes. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, the 49ers, you go to Sacramento, is all 49ers fans.
Yeah.
So like it's not like the Sacramento market doesn't root for Bay Area teams already. It's just they have an NBA team, so that's their own. But everything else, they're Bay Area sports fans.
No, it makes sense. Jay, we've been doing off-season focus episodes. So I got some Wiggins stuff for you. I also got some Valkyrie stuff. Most of them are over-unders, and I'll start with a Wiggins one. So I view Wiggins, I mean, I viewed him like this last year, but he's this big, bright question mark for me. In some ways, kind of the key of this offseason, if they're not going to add anybody, the two people who might make a jump next year, JK, or maybe Wiggins finds himself again. I don't know why, but maybe. Yeah. So my first question for you, the number is 17 points per game for Andrew Wiggins next year, over under 17. And to help inform you, here's the last, you know, his averages over the last 6 years. Last year, 13 points per game. The 5 years before that, 17, 17, 18, 19, 22. That 22 is in Minnesota. All right, so next year, 17 points per game for Wiggins. Over, under?
Under. Ouch. We're going as if he's going to be a Warrior, correct?
Yes, yes. Like, assuming he's I got a question about that too coming up. But yeah, assume he's a Warrior.
I would go under.
Why?
I just don't like the way his career has been trending. I don't know. How do I say this without getting attacked by the woke warriors? I don't know how important basketball has been to him the last 2 years, yeah, for better or worse. Yeah. Whether it's legitimate or illegitimate, that's irrelevant in the point I'm trying to make. I just think his mind has been elsewhere.
Yeah, which is fair.
And he's still a young guy. Don't get me wrong, but it's not like he's entering his prime. He's on the backside. He should theoretically be dead in the middle of his prime. He's what, 28? Yeah. He should be dead in the middle of his prime, but I don't know. I just don't love the way it's been trending. The motor, the aloofness, that's always been things that people kind of wondered about, even in Minnesota, kind of just floating through a game and being a little passive and not really like putting his imprint. And we have enough data to show that's kind of just who he is.
Yep.
And even though you said 17 points per game for like four straight years in Minnesota, it was very much hollow, very much hollow. So I think he'll jump up from 13. I think it'll be around 15, but I'm not sure. People got to kind of come to grips with the championship Wiggins we saw during that season, and more notably during like that run from like March to June. That really was an anomaly. That's been the exception. That's not how he's always
been. I take the under two, and it's exactly what you just said. Right. If we didn't have his full career in Minnesota to look back on, the only thing that Wiggins had ever done is we started in 2022, you know, and we'd seen all this other upside and then like, okay, he had a downside. There's been off the floor things and other reasons. And we can manufacture some stuff about why we think next year is different, but he did play in Minnesota and it was all marked by like stats that didn't matter and he wasn't always engaged. And the idea that we see some of those bad habits resurfacing again last year, it makes me feel like maybe, you know, it's the success was the outlier. So I'll take the under. If you had to bet something significant to you, and this is kind of an unfair question, but you know, mortgage payment, something that meant a lot. Next year, do you think Wiggins will be closer to the 2022, you know, second best player in the finals we saw? Or the 2024 Space Jammed version where it feels like, you know, he was not there for most of the time. And I think you've already answered it, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think he'll be somewhere in between, probably a little closer to this year's version. Like, I'm not sure he gets back to that version. The Warriors would, like, so here's the thing, too. I also think he plays to his atmosphere. More or less, the Warriors have just been a pretty mediocre team the past 2 years. Like 3 years ago or whenever that championship year was, he probably felt more of a sense of urgency because, like, you get out the gate, you're 15-5, or was it 18-2? I can't even remember.
Yeah, I think 18-2. I think you're right.
Yeah, they get out the gate, they're 18-2. So 20 games in, you're all starting to look at each other like, all right, this is a special group. Mm-hmm. There's something at stake. So I think everybody was kind of on a heightened alert. And then you get to the playoffs and then, you know, you're a number one seed. So you really know, like, we have a chance to do this.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of helped him along. But Bro, we all work in a corporate setting. We all have coworkers who just don't work as hard as us. They're not as engaged. They don't care as much.
Yes.
And, you know, like, it is what it is. Everyone has different priorities. This isn't me vilifying Andrew Wiggins. Like, maybe he doesn't care as much. He doesn't. Like, maybe he's just really good at basketball. That's why he plays it. And it's like, it's exhausting to try to like drag someone up to your level of care and to your level of work.
Of course, you're right.
You just can't do it all the time. And that's what I think it is with Andrew Wiggins. Like, you got Steph, you got Draymond, you got other guys on that roster. Klay, we're like super locked in. It means so much to them. And trying to get someone else to be on your level and that right is just exhausting. You can't do it all the time.
You just described 99.9% of the workforce. 99.9% of the workforce. We think that
100%.
sports changes everything, right? Our conception of professional sports is you think that once you're there, everyone loves their job and they want to give everything they can. But the practical reality is just like every other job. The people
Right.
who are listening right now, what percentage of your day are you giving 110%? I mean, like real deal, you know, they're a very
Not
small
many.
percent. No, we really aren't. You get through your day, and I think that's what Wiggins is doing.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, I'm going to give you another over-under. Switching back to the Valkyries. The number is 146, Jay. All right? Over-under average ticket price for the Valkyries, $146. I got that number from the New York Liberty, the team in the WNBA team for New York.
Yeah, so, Brianna and Sabrina.
Boom, exactly right. So what do you think?
So that's their average ticket right now?
Average ticket. You can get in the building for $14. You can pay more than $1,000 to sit on the floor. Average ticket. 146. How will we compare?
So, God, man, there's a couple like factors. So, of course, you got this, the Bay Area factor. Everything is more expensive. But then the New York Liberty, they're a championship team. They lost in the finals last year. They're really good. They're going to be really good again. So you're paying for a good team. Obviously, the better the team, the more expensive the ticket's going to be. So obviously, the Valkyries aren't going to be good there. I would doubt it because they're an expansion team. So you won't be paying, but there'll be the new fancy toy.
Exactly and right. In Chase Center.
All the people in the Bay. It'll probably be like a social scene. Yep. So they'll just want to be seen at the games. I'll go around the same. I'll go push. It's going to be right there. Going to be right there. Luckily for me, I don't have to pay to get in.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to flex. You settle down over there. And I'll be even more vociferous about me disagreeing. I say over. Jay, they're not going to fuck around. It's exactly what you just said. It's a bright, shiny new tool in Lacob's shed here that he's going to throw out. It's in Chase Center.
We know the Bay Area, like the OGs out here, the true basketball fans, a lot of them have gotten taxed out because you got all these people who just like they're like just gentrifiers. They just like want to be cool and trendy. And oh man, like this tech exec was seen courtside at the Vols game and blah, blah, blah.
It's exactly just, what's going to happen. And there's nothing more trendy right now than women's sports. Nothing.
Oh yeah.
So, 100%. You know, and so like next
year, it's going to be the Instagram pictures. You're going to see it on the Vols Instagram everywhere. Post. Celebro.
Dude, I'm even worried about, I think there might be a PSL. We looked at season tickets that you can put a deposit down. And I've got a daughter. Man. Like this speaks to me in a way, you know, that's hard for me to describe. But I can barely afford my regular tickets. Not all of us get to go to the games for free, Jay. So you know, it's a thing for me. And I think it will be high. I think it's going to be over. And I think it's going to be a scene exactly as he's described it. You know?
Yeah. And look, Joe Lacob is a businessman first and foremost. Yeah.
Exactly. And right.
Not a bad thing. He's not running a charity.
No,
he's trying to line his pockets.
If people were outside my office wanting to buy this pen for me for $10,000, would I sell it to him for $10,000? Yes, in a heartbeat. Yes, of course I would. You know, like you'd be an idiot not to. Back to Wiggins. All right. Over under 0.5. How many teams does Wiggins play for over the next 3 years?
Next 3 years. All right. That's a good question. It's funny because when Wiggins signed his contract, it was viewed as a bargain.
Oh, yeah.
He actually took less money to stay. He could have really put his foot on their necks. But last year, this past season's version of Wiggins, that contract is not a bargain anymore. You got to, like you said, I don't think he'll get back to where he was during that finals year, but I do think he'll get better. It'll probably be somewhere in the middle. It'll probably be around like 15 points per game. But, you know, I could see him like I said, he adapts to the situation. Like if there needs to be a sense of urgency, like, you know, the worker who is kind of lazy 6 days a week, but the day they're on deadline, like he's locked in. Yep. That's Wiggins. So if he gets traded to like a team that's in contention over the next couple years, I think he'll be fine. Like maybe a Dallas, Cleveland, and Cleveland is a little relative in contention. But in the Eastern Conference, you know, you don't have to do much. It's really just one team right now and then everyone else. I'd say under three. You said three.
I said 0.5.
Next 3 years? Oh.
Will he be traded at all in the next 3 years? Do you think he'd be pitched for more than one team?
I see how we talked about dumbing down our thing. We got to dumb it down for me too. I misinterpreted. he'll be over. I don't think he'll be a Warrior.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
not sourced information. It's just educated gut feeling. Mm-hmm. Obviously I've heard some things and know how certain people feel and how certain people are kind of exhausted, but I haven't heard anything concrete in terms of, he's on the trade block, but an educated guess would be he will not be.
And the way that his contract combines with Chris Paul's, that it gets it into that $50 million slot for a player coming back is, you know, another valuable reason why he might be traded. Give me yeses or nos from the Warriors' perspective on trades. Just your first thought. All right. Numbers don't work for any of these guys. I'm just getting a sense on you view Wiggins' value. If the Warriors could trade him to the Lakers for Austin Reeves, would you say yes from the Warriors' perspective?
Yeah, probably. The only thing is, though, like, it's hard to make that move. I don't know what's happening with Clay.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they let Clay walk or Clay opts, I don't think there'll be a situation where they let Clay walk, per se. I think it would be a situation where Clay takes more money somewhere else.
Orlando.
Even though that's kind of the same thing, you know what I mean, right?
I do.
It would just be the Warriors saying, we want you back, Clay, but if you're going to go to the highest bidder, we're just not going to get into it. So if Clay leaves, I would definitely make that trade. If Clay is still here, I would probably still make it just because I think there needs to be a change of scenery, but I'll be a little more hard pressed because Clay and Austin are kind of redundant.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. Here, I'm going to give you similar question, but different name. Tobias Harris, who is, you know, is kind of Philly's done with. Yeah, it feels like they would like to get rid of him. From the Warriors' perspective, would you trade Wiggins for Harris?
Man.
It's kind of six one way, half dozen another, right? It's kind of the same guys.
Yeah, it doesn't really move the needle either way. I guess I'll say yes. I would do that just because like you said, they're both stagnant right now. Both of them are so stagnant. Maybe the change of scenery will fucking light a spark under both their asses a little.
Sure. Yeah. No, I like that. I like that a lot. Over under 1.5. How many championships do the Vols win in the next 10 years? It gives him some space, right? Like 10 years is enough where he'll be able to spend some money and kind of get a couple draft picks in.
Still, winning championships are hard. Granted, there's only going to be, because I know they just greenlit a Toronto franchise too. So in the next, so there's 12 right now. Once you add the Vols and then in 2 years add Toronto, there'll be 14 teams. So obviously the odds are just easier because there's only 14 teams. I'll say over. I think they're going to spend a lot of money. You know, Sabrina will be a free agent in a couple of years. Maybe she'll explore coming home to play. I don't know. The expansion draft is weird. Like, I don't think the Vols will get the first pick next year, which I think is stupid. I think they should get the first pick.
Yeah.
But that would be amazing if somehow they could get their hands on Paige Beckers. She's like a franchise-changing type of talent. But I will say yes, just because I think they'll be run well. They will spend money. And I think it'll be a destination type team and would be able to just get talent to come here.
There's all those pictures. First one I can think of is with Andre, but Steph with a player before they join the Warriors, and then they join the Warriors. You know, we saw him like cuddle up to Andre when he's in a Denver jersey. We saw pictures of him with KD before KD joins. I love that Steph has already reached out to Sabrina, that we had that whole crossover in the All-Star game, and that, like, who knows where it goes, but that, you know, possibly he may have already started recruiting.
She spends a lot of her offseason here too. This summer before this past. So like a year ago, basically this time, a little earlier in the year though, because their season hadn't started yet. It was literally like 2 weeks before their season. I interviewed her out in, I think that's Walnut Creek. I forget what town it is, but her trainer, guy by the name of Packy, I was at his gym. He was working her out, sitting on the sideline, watching her workout, had a nice like hour long conversation with her dad. Her dad is funny as hell. Like heavy Italian accent. Like it's like I don't know. He might even be like a first generation Italian. His accent is so heavy. So she spent time here. Like during her offseason, would make sense. She grew up here. But, you know, obviously this is all speculatory, but some people hate playing home, but some people love.
I got one last question for you before I do, just because you've the people who you've had an opportunity to interview and be around is always impressive and entertains me. And so I'll be transparent and then turn it into a question. Not every guest who comes on this show causes me the same level of like preparation anxiety. When we're recording, I'm fine. You know, I mean, it's fine. But there are guests that I want to nail more. You're one of them, Jay. When we have people on here, I take them more seriously and I want it to land more. When you look back on the people you've interviewed, have there been time? I'm sure that when the camera's fired up, you know, there's no problems. Off you went. But have there been interviews that you felt more nervous for before you actually started?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Ooh. I would be lying if I said no. I'm a human. No one really on the Warriors anymore at this juncture because it's been 6 years and the guys who are still on the team. Like, I've interviewed every player on the Warriors pretty much one-on-one over that span. The first time I interviewed Steph, I was a little nervous. Just because not anything Steph did. Steph is the most like approachable guy ever, especially in relation to how famous he is. Like Steph is like a global icon. Like he's next level. Like there's not many people walking this planet who are as famous as Steph Curry. So to be that level and that approachable is very respectable. And that's kind of, you know, it sounds cliche, but that's just, that goes to kind of really how you're raised. So his parents raised him right. His brother is the same way. Seth is just like that. I've talked to Steph a few times on the golf course. Really cool guy. I'm trying to think, who was I like super duper nervous to interview? Honestly, the one-on-ones aren't as nerve-wracking. It's the group ones. Like when you're in like a group presser, And sometimes I get a little nervous in those, like, because you're trying to get in a question and time is limited and you're with all these other members of the media and like especially writers. Writers are curmudgeons. Like, I'll just be honest, some of them can be pricks. Seriously. I don't even know if that would be insulting to writers. They probably like wear that as a badge of honor. But especially towards TV people, sometimes they're not very friendly. I've had great luck here in the Bay, pretty friendly with all of them. But even with some of them, it's almost like you had to kind of earn your respect, which I guess makes sense. But I do think there's kind of like an annoyance with TV people for writers. Like when we kind of invade their, especially the beat writers who are there every day, and TV people aren't there every day. I'm there pretty often because I pride myself in being there all the time. But like your typical TV guy, he's not at every practice. He comes when there's a big game. He comes on game days. Meanwhile, the beat writers are there every day. So sometimes the beat writers look at you like, who are you? You don't get to ask questions. So just sometimes when I'm in group settings, I feel a little nervous asking a certain question. But then I just usually tell myself, most of these questions these people are asking are stupid. So like, if you have a good question, ask it. And I also pride myself, when I first started, I kind of wanted to hear my voice be heard. I wanted like the people in the building to know who I am. So I'd always ask a question just so they'd be familiar with me. Now I'm at the point, I only raise my hand and ask a question intentionally. I don't like, because there's so many questions people ask and they never use that quote anyway. So if I'm going to ask a question, I'm definitely using that quote, whether I'm posting it on social media because I know that's been a talking point, whether I'm putting that on TV later that night, whether whatever the case might be. I ask questions now with intention, and because of that, I don't really ask dumb questions because they're well thought out. So yeah, it really, there's no one who sticks out where it's a one-on-one. One-on-one interviews is just, I try to be personable. I don't put these people on a pedestal and like think they're bigger than they are, even if it's someone like Steph Curry. At the end of the day, we both tie our shoes the same way. So one-on-ones, I never really get nervous. It's really the group setting. It's the same thing when I'm doing like a live shot on TV. If I'm doing like a live shot on TV and I have an audience, like there's times where I'm doing like my TV hit and there's like 500 people like standing all around me listening, just watching. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. But when you're in the studio and you're like solo, it's literally like riding a bike.
I have been to a few practices and gone to, a couple of those group question settings. If you think that the reporters or the beat writers rather don't like the TV guys, try being a podcaster. There's not a whole lot of love there. And I am such a competitive piece of shit that I spent the entire time, two things in mind. One, I better get a question out, just like you're saying. Like, I want people to see that I can ask a question. Two, I immediately look at everyone's articles afterwards and see if my question was used. Like I want it. I want it so badly to be my question that started the discussion. But I'll push this because I'm keeping you longer than I promised to the last
Oh
thing.
man, I'm good.
All
I'm
right.
good.
Here is so different kind of segment. I call it basketball court. The idea is this: I find myself in socially awkward situations all the time. I never have someone I can just go to and be like, "Was this okay?" Right. So for basketball court, I'm making you a judge. Honorable Dumas. Yeah, you've got a gavel. You are sitting behind the bench. Your word is the final say. Here's the case, Your Honor. I found myself at an A's game recently. Exceptionally close friend, in fact, family member came with us. She was wearing a Giants hat, and that Giants hat was in Dodger colors. All right. So, two questions, man. One, is it okay to have a Giants hat in Dodgers colors? And then two, how do you feel about wearing gear for a team that's not playing in the game? Like just going to the fucking A's game. They're not playing the Giants, dude. They weren't playing the Dodgers. So one at a time, give me the color scheme and then the idea of wearing gear for someone who's not actually playing.
Okay, so it's funny you ask something like this because I do it now to troll almost because I'm not a fan of either. I cover both teams professionally, but hey, every now and then I'll go to a game and I'll wear a team's game, a team's gear, just, I don't know, to fit in, I don't know, support. But and especially Bonte Hill. Shout out Bonte. I troll him with this a lot. During the pandemic, they came out with a mask, you know, to wear over your face that was half A's, half Giants. And I wore it to a Bay Bridge series game. And I got killed. I got killed on social media. So now, and then there was some guy I was hosting for 95.7, and he brought us the split hat with the A. And I'll wear it. I have it in my closet. I'll wear it now and then just to troll. I'm not a fan of either team. But yeah, no, it's so weird when someone goes to a game and they'll wear a jersey of a completely different team. It's just so weird. Like I said, I'm a Phillies fan. I grew up rooting for the Phillies. I covered the Giants professionally. Every now and then I go as a fan. My station has nice seats and they'll give them to us if they aren't bringing like advertisers or clients. And I'll throw on a Giants hat if I'm at a Giants game. It's just like, you know, it doesn't make me like a bad Phillies fan. It's just, you know, you do it. I got a closet full of hats anyway of all teams. I wear a lot of hats just stylistically. So yeah, wearing a random jersey at a game is always weird to me. And it's also very weird wearing a Giants hat or a Giants jersey, whatever you said, in Dodgers colors.
Hats. Okay. So give me a socially acceptable or not. Yeah. Wearing gear that for a team that's not playing there, socially acceptable or not socially acceptable?
Not socially.
Boom. All right. And finally, Dodgers colors for a Giants hat or any.
Socially acceptable.
Oh, somewhere along the line, teams stopped caring about brand identity. And I'm not sure. I mean, I get that they want to sell jerseys and like, I get that you want a bunch of different colorways, but like color schemes matter, right? Like it seems like we've lost that. And I'm not sure why.
Power of the almighty dollar, man.
That's actually accurate. That's exactly right. Jay, we miss you. Welcome back, man. Fuck. For people who need way more Dumas in their life, where do they go?
I am on Crown 4 News Sunday through Thursday, 6:45 and 10:45. And then you can catch me on 95.7 The Game. And during basketball season, you can catch me in Santa Cruz, too, for their home games. And I'm on all the socials at J Dumas Reports.
Boom. You know where to reach us. We are also on social media everywhere under @WarriorsHuddle. You can shoot us an email to huddle@warriorshuddle.com. With that in mind, go Warriors. Hopefully, see you next week.
Good, good.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.